Thanks for staying tuned with us. You are listening to Truth for Our Time, where we help you live God's Word in today's world when the headlines hit home. This week, we did have a couple of good headlines out of the White House. I didn't see much about it in the media because you never will. He has made a policy for conservatives to have their right of conscience protected, protecting healthcare entities and individuals from having to enter into situations where they have conscientious objection, whether it be faith or just something that they don't agree with. Maybe it's abortion, sterilization, assisted suicide, which is a very real issue. As you know, we've talked about that on this show from time to time, and we're planning to do a conference here coming up on assisted suicide and euthanasia. So very much appreciate that out of the White House. At the same time, we're also dealing with something in D.C. called the Inequality Act. It may sound fair, but it is not. And joining me to talk about why it is not is Dr. Shay Garrison. Dr. Shay Garrison is a gender policy advisor. She's also with, is it vice president with International Affairs for Concerned Women for America? Am I saying that correctly, Dr. Garrison?
Yes, that's correct.
Thank you for taking time out to join me today. Just kind of take us through. We hear the Equality Act sounds good, like Affordable Care Act.
Mm-hmm. It does sound good, but we call it the Inequality Act because that is what it is. Bottom line is that Congress, and this bill will be on the House floor in the next few weeks for a vote, Congress should only pass laws that protect and support women and girls. But this law threatens the privacy and safety of the and the gains that we have made. And there are quite a few who oppose the Equality Act, women like us, that Concerned Women for America. And we understand that it will hurt women and girls. And I guarantee you that many of those supporting it may be well-meaning, but they've got to understand that this bill will put everything that women have worked for at risk. It is absolutely a threat to women, and it should be rejected.
This kind of reminds me of the ERA back in the 70s and 80s. Phyllis Schlafly from Phyllis Schlafly Eagle Forum saved us way back in the day without computers and cell phones. She did it with the tethered phone to the wall and postcards, but she saved us because ERA sounded like it was going to be great for women, and we realized it would be. And so
You have to actually read the law to understand how dangerous it is. This one, in fact, what it does is it amends civil rights. It amends the Civil Rights Act of 1964 by replacing that word sex, which is a non-discriminated category, with the term sex, sexual orientation, and gender identity. So that's where the problems come in.
So they have tried for years to get sexual orientation, gender identity, SOGI is what we call it often, into the protected status with, you know, sex, with age discrimination, as a protected under, what is it, the Civil Rights Code. And they've not been successful yet. When I was on the Civil Rights Advisory Board for the state of Iowa, we were fighting it then. If they get this in there, then this will essentially be the same as if they had gotten it in the Civil Rights Code. And what that means, if you, sexual orientation and gender identity, we're having more and more people who have been in this lifestyle, individuals like Walt Heyer and James Shoup, who have had, have crossed over, transitioned to the other sex, or they tried, or they thought. James Shoup now says it is medical malpractice and legal fiction, and he was the first individual to be recognized as a legal non-binary individual. So we know now that that's not true. We're hearing it's not in their best interest physically. Jane Robbins has written about all the physical elements that happen to individuals. But what it would do is tie the hands of an employer, perhaps a landlord, anyone else, those protections we just talked about in the healthcare entities and individuals may not apply for a landlord, but they would now be at risk. Is that correct?
And yes, that is correct. I agree with all of those, and I think that those are very important points that we have to bring out. Where we have focused at CWA is on how it's affecting women and girls, because that hasn't been talked about enough, and the ramifications of this bill are huge. Those terms, sexual orientation, gender identity, or SOGI, as you call them, have been written into some of our federal laws already, and policy. They have also, as you know, been written into state law and policy, local law and policy, and we have already seen the ramifications of that on women and girls, boys and men allowed to go into their private facilities, bathrooms, locker rooms, domestic violence shelters, boys who identify as women or girls competing against girls on sports team, and go figure, they're winning these athletic competitions.
Right, breaking
We're
records, scratching
this.
My head over that. They're breaking records.
And what you said, I just want to go back to what you said, this now will enshrine all of those things into civil rights law.
So let's come back to that. There was a judge that just ruled, and I don't have the case in front of me. Some girls had filed a lawsuit because male students or men were in the locker room, and they felt that they were being oogled. And amazing, and with this hashtag MeToo movement, and you were out there at the Kavanaugh hearings with Catherine and I. Catherine's in studio with me. We dealt with that hashtag MeToo movement face forward, up right there in the room of the hearing of Kavanaugh.
That's right.
And yet this judge says, these young girls will have to deal with being oogled.
It is truly mind-boggling, and that's what I want to get across to your listeners today. Let me give you an example. I think a story, and this is happening all over the U.S., really gets the point across more than me telling you about policy. In Washington State in 2002, a man who identified as a woman but still had male genitalia was a student at the Evergreen State College there, and he was a 45-year-old man at this time. He was using the locker room where young teenage girls were able to come in, because they also shared this facility with a college, who were practicing for their high school swim team, and saw him completely naked. Their coach asked him to leave, and here is the simple summary of the outcomes of this, is that he was not arrested for indecent exposure, and the local district attorney did not bring charges, just simply because the school's non-discrimination policy said that he had the right to do what every other woman using those facilities had the right to do, because he believed himself a woman.
So I'm not an attorney, so no one should ever take my advice as if I were. But if I were an attorney, here's what I would say to everyone who is arrested for sexual assault, exposure, indecency: claim that you are the opposite sex, and it's a walk away, pass, go, collect $200 card.
Yes. And I know that sounds crazy, but this will be enshrined into federal law if this bill passes.
Who's pushing this bill?
Well, 234 Democrats. I think all but one Democrat is going to, in Congress, in the House, is going to stand for this bill. And actually, two Republicans have actually co-sponsored it, New York Rep. John Katko and Pennsylvania Representative Brian Fitzpatrick. So it is, like I said, I like to give people the benefit of the doubt, and what CWA has been doing is going to the House, going to various members and saying, look, you need to really read this law. This is what is going to happen. And I want to point out, too, that the act mentions no medical or legal conditions that are required to say that you are a member of the opposite sex going against your biological sex. Rather, you get to self-identify whether you are a man or a woman. There's no medical processes or legal processes that you've got to go through.
Totally voluntary, could change from day to day. Totally voluntary self-identification, as you call it. It could change from day to day. It could change from hour, depending on which line has the longest, which bathroom has the longest line. You could just change and decide which one you want to go. Amazing.
Yes, and as was pointed out to me yesterday by another woman fighting this, who happens to be a radical feminist who is fighting the Equality Act as well. She said, you know, a man could decide that one day he's a woman, go into a young girl's locker room or a woman's domestic violence shelter and commit a sexual crime against a woman or girl, and then the next day he's a man again. Please read the act if you don't believe me. There are no conditions in this set forth.
And I just read a case yesterday where someone who has a record as a sexual offender had changed their sex and therefore wanted to change their name, which will make it very difficult for them to follow. Sexual offenders usually have to report in, and they're followed, and there are parameters in which they can live even after they've done a sentence or you know, been charged. And so this is going to be that more difficult. As you're saying, they may still have full male genitalia or female genitalia, whatever the case may be, but they may change their sex, which changes their identity, which makes it much more difficult for someone to find them, hold them accountable in the case of another assault.
Yes. How do you really look at that from a legal point of view if it's self-identification? It doesn't make any sense to me. And, you know, we're talking about crimes against women and girls. This is a not only a possibility, this is already happening. But I just want to point out something that's even more simple, that women athletes, under Title IX, women were given the equal opportunity and equal provisions that boys had and men had in universities, scholarships, on track teams, for example. This is an example that has stood out to me recently. A man in Minnesota who identifies as a woman won the Women's State U.S. Powerlifting Association Championship. He won first place and lifted 150 more pounds than the woman who should have actually won first place. She was in second place. It just makes no sense.
For every young girl who has trained hard, for every parent who has spent time on a track or traveling to volleyball tournaments, spent the money with the camps, this is incredibly unfair because you will not be allowed the opportunity for the scholarship when men who are obviously more capable in many times, not always, but many instances, as we've said, the records have been broken, whether it's the weightlifting or speed, whatever it is. It's going to be so unfair to young girls who have tried so hard to accomplish their dreams and worked and done the discipline.
It is. And that's, you know, the point I'm trying to make is that this is not something that we're just seeing in the future. This is already going on right now because of policies and laws already set out there. And this would just, the Equality Act would further enshrine them. Downtown Hope Center in Alaska, a man identifying as a woman tried to get into the domestic violence shelter that is female only. He was rejected. He's bringing suit against the domestic violence shelter right now. So it's just creating a host of insane problems.
And of course, I always think of it from those who this may not impact, but they just want to live their lives, whether it be an employer, a landlord, someone who owns a business, who just doesn't want tangled up in all of this and now could be, by nothing they've done, by no discrimination they've shown, but by somebody else's doing. The phone number for DC Switchboard is 202-224-3121, 202-224-3121. Dr. Shay Garrison, thank you so much for joining us today.
Tamara, thank you so much. Just the Equality Act is a threat and Congress should reject it. I'd like to leave you with that.
Call your legislators and tell them no on the Equality Act. We deserve better than that.